B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In terms of sports, they'll probably start off. As you know, I spoke to the commissioners yesterday, almost, of every sport. And many of them are going to be starting without the fans. So it'll be made for television, the good old days, made for television, and it'll go that way, and then fans will start coming in. Maybe they'll be separated by two seats, and then ultimately we want to have packed arenas. When the virus is gone, we're going to have packed arenas, and we're going to be back to enjoying sports the way they're supposed to be, and the same thing can be said for restaurants. So at a certain point in time, when the virus is gone, we're going to be back to normal.
All right, so there's Trump. It's hour number two, Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Felger here from our Tom Fertitta studios in Dorchester. Trump yesterday, more indications these leagues are coming back. These leagues are coming back. Anyway, there's push to do it from the commissioner level, certainly the federal government level. It's obviously an initiative and a priority for Trump to get these teams back on the field. And it's certainly taking shape about what it's going to look like. Made for TV only, and then the next step will be sort of letting people into the arenas, but not full arenas, having social distancing within the arenas, 6 feet between people within the arenas, so every other row or, you know, three seats apart or whatever the case may be. That's what it's looking like, and that feels like, you know, all these leagues are sort of gearing up for that. They will start in empty arenas, maybe neutral sites, and then see what it looks like in the fall or into next winter, and then people start creeping into the buildings. And there's your path, Maz. Are you believing this?
Yes, yeah. I think, look, what I believe is that, you know, a second ago you said sports are coming back. I think that there is going to be an attempt, and a real one. Now, again, the doomsday scenario is that they do that, and that there are outbreaks that are so severe that the hospitals become overwhelmed again, and now you need to shut things down. But I think absolutely there's at least going to be an attempt.
Okay, so I think it's fascinating, and I have from the start how this is going to, you know, I mean, are they really going to go through with it? Because it feels like, I feel it's doable, but oh, logistically, crazy. And I the more I think of it, Maz, and the more this develops, now the next key hurdle, is getting the players to go along with it. Because I feel like if they haven't totally crossed over the hurdle, that they've addressed it in terms of scientifically, technically, can you do it? You know, and if Fauci signed off on it this week, our very own medical expert, Dr. Paul Sachs of Brigham and Women's, we had him on yesterday. I'll just reset this real quick, Jimmy, if you could play Sachs number one in terms of the return of sports and empty buildings.
Scientifically, it can happen. The difficult part, I would think, would be for the players. You know, they have to agree to be quarantined during this period. And it's also just a massive undertaking to have all these other people involved in sports. You've got the equipment men, you've got the entire, grounds crew, and I guess they're going to do it without umpires, do it with electronic umpires, but it's be a huge challenge. But from a scientific level, from a biologic basis, yes, it's possible.
So, you know, the scientists say, you know, on paper, it's scientifically possible.
Correct.
Quarantine people, have enough testing, keep people in a bubble, keep people, I call it the hamster cage. Jeff Passan, who you'll hear here coming up, calls it the biosphere. That technically speaking, scientifically speaking, it's feasible. Sachs is right, though. It's about the players. Are you willing to quarantine yourself in a hotel for 2, 3, 4 months? Are you willing to be away from your family for 2, 3, 4 months? Are you willing to spend 2 months of your life in Grand Forks, North Dakota, or Manchester, New Hampshire, if you're a hockey player? And there was another report today from someone who works for Hockey Night in Canada saying that the governor of New Hampshire is involved in talks with the NHL, and that was the only line in the report, but presumably to bring some teams to Manchester and New Hampshire to play off the regular season or the first couple rounds of the playoffs this summer. So, like, this is all technically possible, scientifically possible. Will the players go along with it? Also, Maz, there's this whole piece about the money. Because even if they come back, they're not going to get full salary because you're losing attendance gate. You'll still get TV money or at least some of the TV money, but the players are going to have to take a cut. And the players are going to say, well, this is going to have to be collectively bargained. How much of a cut are we going to take versus how much of a cut is the owner going to take? We have to negotiate that. So the players have to, and this is this involves your opening take. The players have to agree to the money. The owners have to agree to the money. The players then have to agree to be quarantined, and they've got to live up to it. They can't violate the quarantine. They can't go out on booty calls, Murray, at 3 a.m. and then come back into the hamster cage of the biosphere. They all so that undertaking, and then that applies to the security people, the cleaning crews, the caterers. I mean, all the ancillary people involved with this. It is a massive, it's possible, but it's a massive undertaking, Maz.
Well, and the more players you have, the more complicated it gets, right? So obviously the NFL, now they're farther down the road, so they have more time. But relative to the other sports, baseball has the most, especially if they're going to expand rosters. So I just don't think you're ever going to get 100%. The question is whether or not the union will say, okay, if we vote greater than 50%, then everyone's got to commit. And then, and even in that case, you're going to get guys holding out. But I do believe that ultimately, I'm sort of a Jeff Passan on this, and he said it the other day when he was with us, if the players have to sacrifice their salaries, then most of them are going to play.
Okay.
And when I say sacrifice, I mean if they don't play, they don't get paid. I think you'll see most of them want to come back.
Most of them will want to come back. I believe that as well. But there's going to be individual issues and the players are going to fight it, and I know the baseball players are going to fight it the most because they fight everything the most.
Correct.
And, you know, Passan gave us an example of something. Jimmy, give me Passan 3. Jeff Passan from ESPN was on with us earlier in the week. Again, Passan 3 on this issue.
Let's say that they could go ahead with this plan. The union signs off on it. Do you think there's any threat of players still saying, I'm not going? I mean, you know, big name players, Jeff.
Yeah, 100%. Mike Trout's going to have a kid this summer. He's not going to want to miss that. And so you're going to need dispensations in place to allow people to leave the bubble. Now, the players are going to have to agree when they come back in. They're probably going to be quarantined for 2 weeks. They're not going to be able to play for 2 weeks while they're tested. Or maybe they come back inside and they're tested. And in that quarantine period is a week. You know, all of these things are up to discussion, but it's not a bilateral discussion. You've also got the science element here, and none of these things can be agreed upon if the scientists don't rubber stamp it. That's the part of this that's such a game changer. You know, typically the union and MLB can come to an agreement on things when it makes sense and is pragmatic for both sides. In this case, they might find something that seems pragmatic, but the health officials say, nope, that can't happen. Integrity of the bubble is compromised. And so there is certainly a chance that we could have baseball this year. And big names just say, nope, don't want to do it. Not worth the money for me. I've made my cash. I'll wait until the 2021 season.
So that would be too bad. But it shouldn't be a deal breaker. You know, even in Trout's case. All right, so, I mean, let's say I'm hoping that the guidelines by the time we get here are ramped down where it's not 14 days in quarantine. Maybe there's a treatment out there. And, you know, again, you've heard about things overnight, this certain treatment that may have some success. But there's some sort of advancement where the guidelines have now been ramped down from 14 days. But even if it is, Maz, the paternity leave in baseball, they give them like 4 as it is, right? Isn't
right.
it? Like, and it's, you know,
something like that, yeah.
You know how I feel about this. It's like crazy. But they, you know, these guys go away for half a week to a week anyway. So now there's just an extra week where he's would have been out anyway. And so, all right, it's like a DL stint and it is what it is. Like, it's really, it shouldn't be that big of a deal breaker. But, you know, as Passan said there, I think the scientists have, for the most part, Maz and Fauci, you know, chief among them, have sort of signed off on the general idea of empty stadiums, quarantine players, hotels, stadiums. It's all about, do the players agree to do it?
Yeah, I almost put the medical part of it in a completely separate area. So I know what Passan is saying, that it's not as simple as them deciding to play and they play. But to me, if the medical people say no, then everything else is irrelevant. I sort of just put that in a whole separate pile. If and when the green light is there, I do worry about the power of the Major League Baseball Players Union creating some sort of obstacle or issue that would get in the way of this thing. And the Trout thing is, look, again, the injured list now in baseball. Guys, if Trout has some sort of hamstring strain or tweaks a knee or turns an ankle going into second base, they're going to be without him for 14 days anyway or whatever it is now. And, again, they changed the IL rules this offseason. So I think they went back to 15 days. But independent of that, like, you're missing a chunk of time either way. Almost nobody plays the full season in Major League Baseball. And hopefully by then you will have additional testing in place, more understanding of antibody testing, all of these things that when a guy is ready to come back, they can plug him right in or plug him in more quickly so there isn't the lag that the virus is creating.
So I think this is happening. I mean, and I felt it was always possible for a while, but I don't think they've had any major setback that would say that it's stood in the way of them doing this. I mean, everything, and I, the push of Trump and the federal government is a huge factor. You know, if it's borderline, they're going to have the support of the government to go ahead and do it. And so they're going to be encouraged to do it. So I just think that continues. And, you know, as someone who's heavily tied into the sports industry, I'm glad for it. I'm glad they're continuing to push it. And I'm glad the scientists are signing off on it. And so I think that's all positive as it relates to us. As you go deeper into it, though, and this is going to be like the next phase. The first phase is empty buildings and TV product and all of that. But when they start to open up the stadiums and they say, you know, social distancing within the stadiums, we're only going to use every third seat, every fifth seat, every sixth seat. Do you understand what a logistical nightmare that is as well? Like,
yes.
Not just, so now you have to police that. So now you have people walking through the sections saying, you're too close, move over here, you move over here. It's a giant game of musical chairs in an 18,000 seat stadium. What about concession lines? Are you allowed to stand in line for beer? No, you can't do that. You got to be 6 feet apart. How about getting in the building? How about leaving the building? Don't you have to do it like in sections?
It's a logistical nightmare. You can't do it.
Oh, it's an insane logistical, I don't know about nightmare, but
yeah, it's a nightmare.
But undertaking. Are we prepared?
It's going to be like getting onto a highway in California where you're waiting on the ramp until the light turns green. And you know you can get on the highway and merge into traffic. That's what it's going to be like.
I'm serious. So even when they go social distancing in the stadiums and they only have 10,000 seats filled, those 10,000 people, you can't enter at the same time. You can't leave at the same time. You can't go to the bathroom at the same time at halftime. You can't stand in the beer line at the same time. It'd be a whole operation, even just to get to that middle ground and make that feasible. But I am all for them pushing ahead and trying it. I'm all for them pushing ahead and doing anything you can possibly do to make that next step. I think it's worth the effort. Because what else are you doing? What else are you doing, Murray, other than sitting at home on your couch petting your cat? What else are you doing?
I just want it to be right. Do it the right way or don't do it at all. And I'm just sitting here thinking about trying to go into a stadium and trying to police that while people are boozed up too. The fights that are going to happen.
I already saw an old man
scream at a jogger in downtown Melrose just the other day. Say, too close, too close. Like, it would be such a nightmare.
All right, so let's pick this up.
Not to mention the freedom the hecklers would have.
Oh, yeah, you hear every word. We'll pick this up on the other side with your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
So, Jeff, I worry less about the people in charge than I do about the players, because I think the players are the ones who are most set in their ways, most unwilling to compromise, most unwilling to adhere to pace of play rules or even engage and talk about them. And so you tell me, do you think the players would ever buy into this stuff?
I think the players want to get paid. And I think when it comes down to it, if they're going to have to bite their tongues and deal with things that they might not want to deal with because it gets them paid, then they will happily do so.
Yeah, Yep, Jeff Passan has it right, too. So you'll hear a lot of pushback, a lot of complaints. I'm not talking to my family through a fence for 4.5 months. I'm not going to quarantine in a hotel. LeBron says, I'm not playing in front of no fans. Screw that. Mike Trout says, I got to go see the birth of my blah, 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 blah. Everyone complaining. Okay, then you don't get paid. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll go to the hotel. I mean, it's all well and good until you hear you're not getting your check. And then what? Then what do you do? And we talked to Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, NBC Sports Boston, on the NBA player thing, you know, telling him what Passan said about the major league players. As much as they'll complain at the end, they'll do it because they want to get paid. Chris Mannix said this about the NBA players.
Yeah, I agree completely with Jeff's assessment on baseball players. I mean, the number of players I've talked to over the last couple of weeks who have all echoed the same sentiment, which is we want to get our checks. We want to get paid. So at some point in the next couple of weeks, there'll be some kind of agreement between the NBA and the players union about how much of their checks are going to be garnished. There'll be a percentage of their pay, you know, over the next whatever amount of time that all this lasts. Players don't want that. And especially, you know, it's interesting. I mean, everybody wants to get paid, but as much as anyone, the top tier influential players don't want to see their checks garnished. Obviously, they're getting the most taken out and losing the most money, but they're going to be, I think, the strongest advocates to getting back on the floor, and their voices carry a lot louder than some others. So, yeah, I think there's close to unanimity amongst players to get back onto the floor in some fashion for some kind of postseason, if it's possible.
Yeah, Maz, you have a thought?
Well, so look, I find it interesting that Mannix says at some point in the next few weeks, the owners and players are going to come to an agreement. And so I just have more faith in the NBA being able to cut the deal than I do MLB. That's just a quick aside based on the comment he made. And again, in light of some of the things that Jeff Wilpon, the owner of the Mets, reportedly told Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, in the last couple of days. I worry about baseball's ability to sort of negotiate that and figure that out because of the strength of the union. But at the end of the day, I would hope that someone with half a brain would say, fellas, 22 million people have filed for unemployment in the last month. 22 million, blowing away any number that previously existed. People all across the country in most industries are taking significant pay cuts or losing their jobs and being laid off or being furloughed. You have to take a pay cut here and figure it out, or you are really going to look like a bunch of jackasses.
Murray, you have a thought?
I think the players, you're not going to get everybody on board here. I thought that what Mike Trout was saying was already a big tell. Here's a guy that makes, what, $36 million a year. Those guys that make the big money, you shouldn't be surprised when those guys hold out and say, like, know what, I'll see you next year.
Okay, I'd be disappointed in those guys. I would be. But, you know, to each his own. We'll see this going forward. But the push remains, and we're getting sports soon. We're getting sports soon-ish, I should say. I don't mean to say weeks. But I think by June, I'm going to be watching guys on the field or ice or floor or something. We're going to be seeing it. There's just too much critical mass behind it, in my opinion. Steven Tewksbury on the NHL finishing their season. Go ahead, Steve.
I called 2 weeks ago. You're killing me. I want to come down there and pull your vocal cords out. How are you going to have hockey players as well as coaches, trainers, referees, all be locked up together?
Because without it, they
have no fans.
Because without it, they don't get paid. So their option is to forego millions of dollars. I'm not interrupting you. So the option is to forego millions of dollars and not work when you could work, or make the best of a bad situation, Steve. If you could work, wouldn't
fans
you work?
In there.
Steve, if you could work, wouldn't you work?
Yeah, if I could work, I'd go.
Right.
I'd even take the chance of getting sick.
There you go. Well, so you just answered your own question.
Yeah, but I don't have the opportunity to work because they're not going to open it up to the building. Who am I going to sell to? Who am I going to serve?
So again, this is our, Steve, so no one else should work because you can't?
No, I didn't say nobody else should work.
Well, that's what you're implying. It is, and now, Steve,
the fans be the ones that decide if they want to go and get sick or not.
You've called three times on this. Because whatever you do, so them coming back in empty stadiums or half-filled stadiums doesn't allow you to work. I'm sorry for that. I truly am. But just because you can't work means your neighbor can't either? Say, you know, say your neighbor, you know, it does have a chance to go back to work, even in these empty stadiums. He's a cleaning crew guy or whatever. He's in some sort of, he works for a TV station where he's a tech guy or cameraman or something like this, a production guy.
And Grounds crew.
He does have the chance to go back to work, even in an empty building, but you don't. So they shouldn't play just because you can't? So you want to deprive your neighbor the chance to go back and work because you can't? And again, you've called three times on that now, three, four times. You call every week on that. So is that what you want? Is that what you're saying? I mean, that feels to me that's what you're saying.
Well, look, if it becomes an all or nothing proposition and nobody gets back to work, I think we all know what happens to the boat. Okay, so like to me, this is one of those. And
if it's all or nothing, and I'm sorry to yell, but, you know, and Murray's in this boat. It's like, nope, don't do it until we can do it right. Well, then we're all sitting at home for 18 months, Murray. Seriously?
Yeah, well, it sucks, but it seems like that's what it is.
Oh, come on. That's silly. You do whatever you can to work. You do whatever you can to keep your business going. You do whatever you can to generate income. You do whatever you can. If any quarter measure, half measure, you do it. And you keep trying and you keep trying and you keep trying till, you know, they say you can't do it or it's just not feasible. I do not agree with you on that, Murray. I don't quit like that.
Well, Mike, and there is data out there, too, to suggest that. I hate to keep harping on this point, but the deeper we get into this thing, the more frustration you hear, like Steve, the caller. And that is that I think the most recent data that we saw yesterday had somewhere in the range of 75% of the people who sampled said they wanted them to make an attempt to get games back on the field because it would help with mental health and help create a diversion and give everybody something else to focus on. Now, look, I feel for those people that are out of work. We are lucky. We've been able to continue to function essentially pretty close to what our routine is, at least from 2 to 6. Okay, and certainly in some of the other times, too, in terms of prepping for the show and stuff like that. So we've been lucky, and I feel for those people. But what are we supposed to do? Like, nobody can go to work? Nobody can work at all if they want to put the games back on the field? It's just, it becomes just honestly, it's selfish, and I hate to use that word, but we're going to have to take this in steps. There's not any one particular person that, and I'm not talking about pro sports now, that's going to decide who can go back and when. It's just going to be a matter of what you do and what the exposure is to other people.
So you haven't heard me go on about the thing that you said about, you know, providing some public service for morale, because that's not the crux of my argument. It's like, I mean, I think it does that, but then I think you sort of sound like a martyr. Like, I'm doing this. We're going to bring back sports because it's going to help people. It's for the greater good. I think that gets a little disingenuous because the vast majority, that's not why the vast majority of people are pushing for sports to come back if you're in sports. You're doing it because you want to make your money and continue your livelihood, which isn't wrong either. So, I mean, let's just be real about it, okay? The LeBron James is not going to come back and play because that's for the greater good and it's going to inspire people. He's going to say that, but that's fraudulent. He's going to come back because he makes $35 million a year and he's a chance to win a championship and enhance his legacy and his brand. But that's okay. If you out there, Joe Blow, have a chance to go work and earn and do what you do and earn your living, go do it. And so that's what I would say to these players, and that's what I'd say to these owners, and that's what I'd say to anyone involved in sports. If you can go do it, go do it. We're going to help the greater good. Like, that's not why. I mean, I think it's a side benefit, but we're in the sports industry. We benefit when sports come back. That's why I want it back. That's just honest.
Mike, I'm just trying to tell you that I think there is a gain for people who don't go back to work. That's all.
There is.
That's all I'm trying to tell you, that there is some benefit there. And I'm not talking about LeBron James. I'm talking about the people who don't go back to work and the people who are cooped up in their houses and need something to occupy their time and their energy. Because you can get pissed off about it if you're a guy like Steve, and that's fine. I get it. I mean, I understand the frustration. Like, you know, he can't live his life the way he wants, and I'm sure he's got bills to pay and a mortgage to pay and everything else. I get it. But at the same time, like, so we're supposed to just prohibit everyone else from going back to doing what they can do, and some people who can offer some small service to people. Because I'm not under any illusion about why LeBron James is going back. I'm just telling you what the ancillary benefits are.
Here's Murray's update. We continue with the conversation here on Agenda Free Friday right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is Las Vegas still the key for you, or have you heard anything else? And have you heard any other sort of wild proposal that's been bandied about out there?
You know, you hear gossip about cruise ships, but that doesn't really make any sense. And you hear about an island like the Bahamas where, or even Hawaii, where teams like the Lakers have had training camp before. But Vegas, to me, is still the only place that makes any kind of sense. And to that end, I've heard some, you know, I've heard as specific as being maybe in Mandalay Bay, which could, you know, house a tournament like this. And if people are familiar with Vegas and the Strip, you know, Mandalay Bay is effectively connected to the Four Seasons there. It's somewhat isolated on one end of the Las Vegas Strip. So that to me makes some sense as well. So I just... If this is doable, I think it's only, and I've said this to you guys before, it's only doable in Las Vegas.
Mandalay Bay, that's another one when he said that. Because we were talking about the MGM, which has that big arena in the middle of it with the casino and the massive hotel all in one complex, one building, essentially. Close the doors, seal it off, boom, there's your biosphere. Mandalay's the same thing, right? Doesn't Mandalay have an arena? I think they do. And I think the Delano is attached there too, or it's, you know, right there. And the Four Seasons is definitely attached right there. And that's your own little biosphere world right there for the NBA, Mandalay Bay. How about that? So there's that. And again, I did see there was a tweet from someone who works for Hockey Night in Canada, up in Canada, about the NHL talking with the governor of New Hampshire. And the presumption there is that could be one of the neutral sites for the NHL. I don't think the whole league can go to one spot in the NHL. They need too many rinks, and it's just a sort of a different deal. But can they get away with two or three different sites? You know, we've heard that. Grand Forks, North Dakota, Saskatoon, New Hampshire, etc. So, I think they should do whatever it takes on that. Back to the phones on everything here on Agenda Free Friday. Mike in the truck on the Patriots. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, on the Patriots quarterback plan or lack thereof, Colin Coward just said, Sidham's not the future. Now, that might just be his personal opinion, but boy, the Patriots pumped him up over the season, and maybe that was just part to push Brady, but also you got Belichick calling him Stid, so there's something with that. I don't think they...
Well, let me just stop you, Mike. Thanks for the call, as usual. Let's discuss that. Do you feel there's been a groundswell in the, an anti-Stidham, for lack of a better phrase, in the last couple of days? Where, you know, we heard the Ian Rappaport sound saying, you know, they're going to draft a guy, then they're going to use a premium pick to draft a guy, and Brian Hoyer is probably going to start the year as the starter. You have all these reports, you know, Peter King says Bill's basically spoken with Justin Herbert. You've got reports that the Patriots were doing their due diligence on Jordan Love, etc. Do you feel there is momentum building away from Jared Stidham being the starting quarterback this season?
I mean, I think there's a little of that, yes. And again, now look, I don't put too much emphasis on just the stuff at draft time because I think you then ignore all the stuff that is out there prior to the draft. And when the draft comes around, as we all know, there's a certain amount of posturing and monkeying around that goes on because teams want to send messages and they're all playing games. Now, in the case of the Patriots, I also think that they could be playing games with Stidham. So, again, we're in a situation here where because of this basic lockdown, that the team has no real access to the player and certainly not in any kind of environment that would give them some answers. So they got to make sure that this kid is doing everything he can to be the starting quarterback of the team whenever the time comes. And if that means goosing him a little now, I think there is some of that going on. Now, look, at the end of the day, do I think that the Patriots look at Stidham and say he has a shot? My answer is yes. Are they convinced that he's the guy? No. So I'm having it there a little bit. I'm somewhere in the middle. But I don't think they look at Stidham and say, he's a bum. He's not the answer. We've got to go out and get a guy now. I don't think they feel that way.
So, I mean, I think if they're trying to goose him and get his attention, they've done it. Like, I don't know. It feels like
There's been a change this week.
Yeah, there's been a little bit more reporting, Murray, than just, hey, kid, you know, this isn't yours, just so you know. Like, it feels like it's gone beyond that a little bit.
Yeah, and I know that the nickname is a term of endearment. Maybe Bill just likes him as a person and feels like he's got a long way to go as a player. So, you know, you can like a guy all you want, but if he sucks on the field, then you're going to have to find a replacement or someone that could play that position a hell of a lot better than he does. So maybe he's not there yet. I don't think they're going to give up on him or anything like that, but there is something to this. Maybe they're trying to goose him, or maybe they've realized just watching film or through practices last year, like, we got to do something better than him. And maybe that's Hoyer or someone that they draft.
I mean, they're definitely not sold. Can we agree on that?
Sold for this year, I would agree.
Right. They're not sold. They're not looking at it and going, this guy's the answer. So there is some doubt there. And I think I have felt all along that it was incumbent upon them and critical of them to take take another quarterback in this draft. I think they got to. I don't think this kid is such a sure thing that you don't take another quarterback.
Nick and Lowell on the Return of Sports. Hi, Nick.
How's it going, guys? Look, every so often you get one of those great ideas. And if you're like me, they usually happen when you're in bed at night. I got lucky, and you guys were talking about it while I was thinking about it. So here's what the leagues do to make, like, a little bit more fan engagement during this. They take everybody that likes to live stream and tweet and twat and all those things, and they let you live stream right during the broadcast. They can even feed you in through the PA system. All these places got a better PA system. They can be louder than all the people in the world combined anyway. Do it electronically.
So you're saying
moving that way anyway.
So you're saying you're saying once they allow, like, you know, a third of the stadium to be filled, 10,000 people in a, you know, 10,000 people at Fenway Park, but you can all live stream on your phone. I mean, if that's what gets you off, go ahead. Like a bunch of kids playing with their toys. I know, you know, fine. Wee, look, I'm periscoping. Wee, look at me. Like, I mean, I guess that's perfect for our times because everyone just wants to dink around with their phones. But that wouldn't do anything for me. I just watched the ball game. Is that what he's talking about before I go off?
I have no idea what he was talking about.
Thank you.
I don't have a clue. That guy lost me, too.
Okay, Bill and Paxton on the Return of Sports. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I want to comment on the players playing the NFL, the NHL, and the NBA. They're always against each other, sweating and everything. And then, believe me, the ones that make, I don't care if they make 500,000, 400,000. One or two of them will get sick and they'll walk out, most of them.
I don't think so.
You have some players. And the only argument you have for this is for your show and shows like yours. If they don't play, you don't have a show. That's what you're pushing all the time.
Sure.
But these guys are smart enough, some of them, not to perish their life for playing a game and taking a cut in pay over those fans. Your show is the only thing you're pushing. You could care less. But
yes, I care about my livelihood, Bill, yes. And if I assume you're retired, you sound a little older. If you had a chance to work, you'd fight to work, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Aren't you all? So yeah, absolutely. I have a vested interest in sports coming back, and so I want them to come back. And if you work in a restaurant, you have a vested interest in that restaurant coming back, and you want them to open. And if you work in a bar, you have a vested interest in that bar reopening, and so you would push for that bar to reopen, wouldn't you? Wouldn't everybody? So that's what these people are doing. You're going to begrudge them that? And I disagree with you on the infection thing. My feeling is that the vast majority of athletes will say, whatever. It's another virus. I'll get it. I'll get over it, and I'll be back on the field. I think these guys mostly think they're impervious. I think most of them are more worried about blowing a knee and losing revenue and losing, you know, earning power than they are catching the coronavirus. That's just my guess. And my guess is, even, not that we'll ever know this, but I've talked about this a little bit too, that there's going to be a sort of a under-the-table sort of thing where if guys catch it, they're going to keep it low, and they're not going to blow up the entire spot just because they tested positive for coronavirus, that they're going to keep playing, and no one's going to rock the boat. That's sort of my feeling on it.
So, Mike, just quickly, though, like, because, again, we all do the same thing. We're all on the same show. We're all in the same business, at least, you know, and I'm talking about those people here at the station, on the air. Let's take us out of it because we have multiple interests in it. Do you think the average fan wants the leagues to come back?
Yes.
So do I.
Yeah, but
so do I.
Yeah.
And there won't be any monetary benefit for those people. Not really. So I just think that, again, to me, this is sort of the part of it that I focus on because I think those are the majority of the people who are going to be affected.
And I'm not claiming this is UMass. I'm just saying I don't want to be a phony. and sit here and say, I want them to play because of the greater good. I want them to play because it's my industry and I want to work. Just like you want to work out there. Okay? So that's let's just keep it real, shall we? And I want you to fight for your job. You should fight for your job. You should fight to go to work every day. So I want these leagues to we could be talking about a widget factory. They should be fighting and doing everything they could to show up and make widgets. Okay, now there is a nice ancillary benefit that we all get to have something to watch at night, which I think we could use. But again, I'm not going to sell you on that because I'm not trying to save the world here. We're doing a sports show. A long commercial-free segment is next.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5. Sports Hub.
My angle and my thought was why Florida, Arizona made more sense is because the players are more likely to go for it. Because if you can tell every player he can go live in his off-season home or his rented home, and every team gets to go to their off-season base, that, you know, that actually is more feasible than having half the league pack up and move across the country. That was my thought.
Yeah, no, it is. But Mike, the problem is it goes against everything that this plan embodies. Like, you can't live at your house if this plan's going to work. The whole reason that Anthony Fauci came out today and said that this is a workable plan for Major League Baseball is because he is under the impression that players are going to agree to stay in hotels and go from hotel to ballpark, ballpark to hotel. They're not going to go out drinking. They're not going to go out partying. They're not going to go out doing anything. They can't even go out to grab a hamburger around the corner. That is not part of this plan and how it's going to work. And so as nice as it would be, I totally agree with you. Like, in an ideal world, in a non-COVID world, you send guys to their houses and we do it that way. But the problem is the number of people you run into who could be infected and then pass along the infection to you. And because these are strong athletes, the infection could very easily be asymptomatic. And then you pass it along to a 70-year-old first base coach who has a history with heart problems and he dies. Like, I hate to be so blunt.
Yeah, no,
like
I get it.
That is just, when you are doing something like this, the reason you can is because of the integrity of the bubble. If the integrity of the bubble is punctured, the whole thing falls apart. And that's why this plan has been so pie in the sky from the start, because the notion of having 1,200, 20, and 30-something-year-olds who, by and large, are in the top 1% of earners and who have lives that are unlike what any of us can even possibly fathom, and keeping them inside for months at a time is so fanciful and so absurd, but it is also the only way to do it.
And that was Jeff Passanow with us earlier in the week. I mean, when you really boil it down, Maz, the undertaking, the logistical undertaking of the whole thing,
massive.
Oh, I mean, part of me just wants to see him try to see if they can pull that off. I mean, the dome, the bubble, as he calls it. And it's not just the 25 to 30 players on the roster. It's all the coaches, the trainers, as you mentioned, the grounds crew, the cleaning crews, the caterers, the people providing the food, the people serving the food. Like, how many people are you talking about in that bubble? Thousands, right?
Oh, my God. And, Mike, look, we've joked about this, you know, on some level because of all the changes in the sports trauma that the Red Sox underwent during their offseason. Ron Renicki's in his 60s. So if Ron Renicki, and I don't know what his long-term health is, you know, whether he's been healthy over the course of his life or career or not, but there's a guy who you say he's got to probably be more careful, or even better, Terry Francona. Terry Francona's had all kinds of health issues. He had a pulmonary embolism when he was in his 40s, for crying out loud, and has never been in the greatest of health. If you're a guy like him, you got to be careful during something like this, and it is. It's a massive undertaking.
But it may be the only way.
Oh, so, I think in the short term it is the only way.
So let's see if they go for it, and let's see what it looks like. And I'm glad they're pushing. I'll just, again, not to get too preachy, but we all should be pushing to do everything we can. That's the whole point of this, isn't it? We continue with your thoughts on everything. Fred and Cranston. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, guys. I'd just like to weigh in on the job, like people being out of work. Most people don't like their job anyway. So anyway, I'm talking about that is a lot of people about that is just, I don't want to hear that, okay? And second of all, like, we have to have some kind of sports. I'm all for that. Something would be nice. If somebody could figure something out, it would be great. I don't have the answer, but if somebody could figure out, it would be great.
Oh, they're trying to figure it out, Fred. That's the point. They're trying to figure it out. And if you're lucky enough to like your job, you want to work. So that's a fair qualifier. Mike in Scituate. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I had a couple of quick points I wanted to make. On basketball and hockey, I mean, I think they should try to just start the playoffs as they are, finish the playoffs. On baseball, I mean, I'm really not interested in watching a big, long schedule of baseball with nobody in the stands. It would be a complete snooze fest the way the game is played. And on the practical note...
So let me just stop you on those two. Basketball can go right to the playoffs as far as I'm concerned. Hockey, they have to clean up somehow the teams on the bubble with games in hand. They have to clean that up somehow. Even if it's just a four-game regular season... and again, however the nerds can figure out the scheduling to make sure everyone plays the same amount of games, I think they have to do that. I want to see that in hockey versus an expanded playoffs. So that's the difference between basketball and hockey. In baseball, I'll just say it again, Maz. I don't think people fully appreciate how many baseball games they watch as it is in half-empty, three-quarters-empty stadiums. There are so many regular season baseball games where there's no one in the stands, and I don't think people... register that. I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference. I really don't. And do what Taiwan does. We'll put some robots in the stands, and the next thing you know, no one's going to know the difference.
Yeah, I think the caller misses the point. In fact, I think the callers have missed the point the last couple of them. First of all, whether you like your job or not, you need the income. Okay? So, like, it isn't about whether you like your job and not going to work. You need to get paid. Okay? That's that. And then, in terms of the, you know, snooze fest of no stands in the fans... what are the alternatives? The people keep missing this. Like, you know, no, we need the fans in there. Well, if the option is you get sports at, again, a lesser percentage because it doesn't have the same intensity without fans there, I get it, in 3 months, or no sports for a year, what are you taking?
Thank you. It's that or nothing. That's the argument. Not whether...
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Mike, and this is not, see, again, because people misinterpret all this stuff. This is not at the expense of people's health or well-being. No one is saying that. The question is, if you can pull it off, is it worth it? And my answer is yes.
And the scientists have given you a path. This is the whole point. If Fauci and our Dr. Sachs and these other guys said no, then the conversation over. But they've given you a path. They've given you a path. And if you say Fauci is being, you know, sort of pushed and nudged by Trump, okay, he might be. Dr. Sachs has no skin in the game. He said scientifically, on paper, it's feasible. It's possible. It's an undertaking. It's logistically, you know, really involved, and the players have to agree to it. But scientifically, it's feasible. So if it's scientifically feasible, then why don't you push ahead and try and do it? And that's sort of where I'm at with that. If your good doctor, Dr. Paul Sachs, said no, it's not, you know, not scientifically or health-wise feasible, the conversation would be over. The conversation would be over, but it's not. That's that. And we can continue with this conversation throughout the course of the day. In fact, we plan to. But we also plan to get back to the latest Patriots draft rumors and where they're looking at, just less than a week until the first round of the NFL draft. We'll do it with Channel 5 sports reporter Christopher Gasper. Say what? That's right. Channel 5 sports reporter Chris Gasper joins us next in our Town Fair Tire studios after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.